It's time for the End of Conversation Podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yeah. Ali is away, so again, it's just you and I, one-on-one, you know what I mean? Just a good old back and forth, you know what I mean? I'm glad y'all here. You know, how y'all doing? Yeah. Okay. All right. That's what's up. Good to see you. And real talk, I appreciate what you did for me. I don't want to put it all the way on blast, but trust me. You know what I mean? Anyway, we here. Tail end of 2025. Only a couple weeks left. Definitely into holiday party season. I just left it wasn't a holiday party, it was a birthday party. Shout out to my man Stucky. You know, he just turned 50. You know, it's those type of parties I'm talking about right now. We be talking about real shit at the parties. You know, small talk is loaded. Talking about ailments and, you know, just getting to the other side of things. But yeah, man, it was a good time. Good to see some people I haven't seen in a while. This is a late edition. You know, typically I tape a little earlier, but you know, protect the streak. We here, you know, chopping it up. I hope y'all are good. I think I just checked in with you, but you know, I'm chilling. You know, I'm chilling. What did I do this week? I did a little bit. Hung out with the family. You know, that was good. A lot of laughs. I always get some laughs when I'm with the family, so that was fun. You know, we did that. I don't think I did a whole lot. I guess I watched a few movies. It snowed. I was so happy I didn't have nothing to do. I had no shows that day. So it was even more reason to just be in the crib chilling. Being in the crib chilling, believe it or not, is kind of hard for me. You know, I find myself kind of feeling a little guilty about being in the crib, you know, like I should be out there doing something, you know, that type of shit. But I was in the crib, I was chilling, I watched a couple movies, watched some TV. I binged, you know, it's week to week, so I binged as much as I could of Landman season 2. I got back into season 2 of Landman, and man, that's my shit. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm fucking with Landman. I don't know if y'all watch that shit. That's one of my favorite little watches right now. Landman and I Love LA. I do. I think I Love LA is very funny. I hear people, I guess the reviews are mixed on it, but I really enjoy that show. But Billy Bob Thornton is killing it on that shit, man. It's just so, it's like real matter of fact, just real simple, straightforward, you know, I guess somewhat MAGA adjacent, but like, not MAGA, I don't even say MAGA, but just like very, feels like it's conservative whites with means or whatever. I guess they're conservative, you know, white folks with means, but these are like, and I might even have to look up the phrase salt of the earth, because that might be some bullshit. But it's just a good show. It's just very like, look, man, we out here trying to make it happen day by day. We're not overanalyzing all of these things, not getting caught up in the rhetoric of this new progressive culture. Meanwhile, we are still progressive because we open to humanity. You know what I mean? In that way. I don't know if that makes any sense. We might clip that. But I've been watching Landman. Landman's been good. I've been watching I Love LA. I think that shit is very funny. I watched Jay Kelly on Netflix. That's the new George Clooney and Adam Sandler movie. It was bland. And I'm a big, you know, I fuck with George Clooney. I fuck with Adam Sandler. Noah Baumbach was the director. I'm a fan of all of them, but it just was kind of, you know what I mean? It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't a good movie. It was just, you know, it wasn't anything special at all. Yeah, it was real middle of the road, so I don't recommend it. It's a long ass movie too. You could have clipped that shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's gonna be just, you know what I mean? It's just bland and fucking 2+ hours. Like, all right, y'all, clip some of this shit. Some of y'all don't need to make the cut. But anyway, I guess I'm in the mood right now. It is what it is. Full disclosure, I had like 2 beers. I don't think I'm twisted. I know I'm not twisted, but you know, I'm chilling. I feel a little gassy, so that's why there's a couple like little pauses, because I'm hitting the little cough button and burping. Anyway, Finback was the beer I was drinking. Anyway, might even cut this too. We'll see. What else is going on, man? A lot of music came out. 21 Savage's new album came out of the blue. I didn't even expect it. I fuck with 21. He one of my favorite like rappers of the new generation. You know what I'm saying? I just like the he's good at slick talk. Good at slick talk. His flow is just, it's very matter of fact, again, similar to Billy Bob Thornton. It's not anything flowery. It's not super lyrical. He's not whack lyrically. He got a lot of slick shit. You know what I'm saying? What's the line when ops is so broke, we just shooting at the bus? He say slick shit. I like that. I like that shit. I do remember, you know what's funny? I remember, and I think it was a good distillation a long time ago. I think Pete Davidson said 21 Savage rap like he's dead already. And I was like, wow. And yeah, a little bit. He also kind of reminds me of Prodigy in the way of it's just like, again, like just sometimes like plain spoken brutality. You know what I'm saying? Like, P was a beast though, lyrically, but you know, like just the way he'll just say some shit real succinct, you know, rock you in your face, stab your brain with your nose bone. You know, like, damn, shit is vivid, it's violent, and it's to the point. You know what I'm saying? It ain't flowery. Nigga, you understood what he said. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of shit to de-escalate some shit. You're like, all right, you know what? You know, matter of fact, it's the holiday season. I'm going to just go ahead and I'm going to go my way. You go your way. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we don't need to go much further. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, I respect what you're trying to do. I respect what you're trying to say. So I'm going to, I don't think this is a big deal. You take it easy, young man. You know, because these motherfuckers was like 5-something. They was like 5'6", 5'7", shit like that. I just was on the flight with Havoc. You know what I mean? I had to tell him that easy, bro, on the new album is fire. Anyway. Yeah, I'm rambling. But anyway, so yeah, the 21 Savage shit came out. I liked it. It was a good album. You know, I'm a fan of 21 Savage. I like that. Conway album came out. I'm not even, you know, it's funny. I respect the whole Griselda wave, but it got like, it started to feel like No Limit back in like 98 when it was just unrelenting. Like it was just release after release after release to the point you look up, it's just like, damn, I'm way behind. You know what I mean? It was just felt overwhelming. So I kind of fell back for a minute. But shout out to my peoples, you know, West Manchild, my man Keith. They like big Griselda fans and their enthusiasm kind of made me want to tap in again, you know? And so I listened to the Conway album. That shit is fire. That is really good. It's actually very good. So I like that. And then obviously Nas and Premier. Nas and DJ Premier dropped Light Years, the album that we had all been waiting for. The album that I was a little nervous about. You know, because we have all been waiting for this shit for many years. You know, shit, 2+ decades. You know, this is one of those. And it came out, you know, and look, it's not a bad album. It's not a bad album. It's a solid album. I think I said this 2 weeks ago as in relation to the De La Soul release. I'm trying not to give just like these quick takes on things. Like I've listened to the album front to back at least once. Not in the whip, in the house. Listen to it. I was just on my way back. I was coming from Brooklyn. I was on my way back from Brooklyn, coming uptown, and I was listening to it in the car. Maybe for the second time, actually. Maybe I've listened to it, and I front to back. I just kind of found the shit that I like. But this one, I was just kind of letting it play through just to kind of get a feel for it. And it's a solid album. It's a cool album. It's like a whiteboard album in the way that, when I say that, I mean like it sounds like, and I was watching that interview with Joe Budden, and he may kind of even not alluded to it, but you know, it felt like they had topics and things on a whiteboard. You know what I mean? It was like almost in a political way, like, okay, let's check these boxes. You know what I mean? We got our IP shit. So we're going to do New York State of Mind 3. You know what I'm saying? Third Childhood. Okay, we did daughters. Now we're going to do sons. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. Then it's like, let's do a record about graffiti writers. Let's do a record for the ladies, for the women rappers out there. Let's let them know we see them, and let's talk about them, let's shout them out, and you know. And it wasn't as, I don't want to say, it doesn't sound as like deliberate, you know what I mean? Like strategic. It doesn't sound that way, but it's like, okay, I see the theme for this. Pause tapes. Okay, I see that this is a theme. Oh, okay, this song is about this, you know what I mean? And it's just like, all right, they weren't bad. You know, this is Nas the Premier. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still are ill. They still dope. They still better than a lot of motherfuckers. But you also got to look at the fact that they both got 30-plus year careers. You know what I mean? And this is kind of, I don't want to say the twilight, because who knows how long these careers will go. But this is 30 years in. You know what I mean? And I feel like we've been having this conversation all year, and probably even before that, but all year about, you know, legacy and heroes getting older. Last week we were talking about LeBron and, you know, how he's looking, and I don't know, what is it, 21st season, you know, there's old, you know, the Jordan of it all, or, you know, Mike Tyson, you know what I mean? Like, just certain people at one point, when they were at their peak, they were so impactful and so such a phenomenon that it just, you know. I think also as you get older, if you were somebody, first of all, if you get the privilege of getting older, but if you were somebody to grow up with an artist, with an athlete, with somebody that inspired you from the beginning of their career, and their career spans a long time, and y'all, you know, y'all both getting older, I think if this person impacted you when you were young, I think there's a part of it to where you kind of look to them to feel young. You know what I mean? Like, if you were in high school or whatever, and when Nas first came out, or even younger than that, when Nas first came out, and you just remember all of these formative moments of your life being soundtracked by Nas, or being soundtracked by Premier, or whatever, you know, those are people that remind you of when you were younger. Now, as you get older and these same people are there, sometimes, I don't want to say the expectation, but sometimes the reference point for these people is, you're like, oh shit, that's my people. You know what I mean? But then what happens if you live long enough, you go around the people that you knew when you were young, and they old. Sometimes they older than you. And you like, oh shit, wait a minute, am I old? You know, there's a meme I seen a long time ago that was like, damn, you ever see an old person outside and you realize you went to high school with them? You're like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like, age is a motherfucker. Father Time is undefeated. You know, we all Asian, you know, and that's a privilege. We all Asian, or you're not. You know, so it's just like, it's one of those things when it's like, oh, shit, you know, wow, I guess guess things are different. But the other thing to that point, what I did appreciate about the album, again, this is 20 plus years of expectation. That's very hard to live up to. And again, I don't think, again, and I'm not giving a final review on it. Like, again, I want to process and listen to it. And there's some shit on there that I fuck with. Like, Get Ready, allegedly, that was going to be the first song. And I think that should have been the first song, because the first song that they got, it almost don't sound like a premiere beat immediately like Get Ready does. And Get Ready sounds like the beginning of an album. Like, if it started like that, I'd be like, oh, shit, you know. But the first song that they got, it kind of had me like, oh, you know. But anyway, there's some moments. There's some good moments of greatness by both of them. Get Ready is crazy on some premiere shit. You know what I'm saying? That beat is bananas. The fucking hook is crazy. You know, there's some moments on here. You know, the storytelling on Sons is poignant as fuck. I don't know if, again, it might be me getting older, but I was like, damn, this shit kind of made me a little misty. You know what I mean? It's just the way he told the story of him and his moms. And, you know, it's just, it was, he has a talent for, like, storytelling in the way of, and he was like, yo, I told my moms, I thought that the little silhouette of the kid crossing with his mother was me and her. You know, she was like, what? You know, because that's some shit a kid would say. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, nigga? This is all over the city. It was like, to think that we were that important. Like, we special. I thought, you know, but it was just like, I like that. I thought that shit was just something. It was like, wow. You know, there's great little moments. But anyway, I was saying all that to say one thing that it did make me consider was just the vastness of both of their careers, right? And the fact that, you know, with all of that there, with everything that is riding on, if you want to say, right, they still did it and they weren't precious about it. I mean, I'm sure they were on point and I'm sure they were serious about it and everything like that, but they put it out in the world and now it's for the world. Enjoy or not, but it is what it is. It's another brick in our foundation. We're already in the fucking Hall of Fame. We got fit for the jackets. We got the jackets on. The Jackets is kind of frayed, nigga. We've been in the Hall of Fame for a while. We first ballot Hall of Famers, you know. I felt like for a while, and I had to fall back from this, but I felt like I used to be a little bit more protective of other people's legacies. I remember with the Tyson, Jake Paul shit, I was like, no, you shouldn't do this shit. It's Mike Tyson, this nigga, you know. And I remember Ali said some shit where, you know, listen, the beauty of the whole thing is he got to withdraw from his legacy while he's still alive, you know. Like, that's the beauty. That's the real win of it all, you know. Like, shit, don't wait till you're dead to spend the insurance money. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, lean on that shit. If you built something, fuck it, flex on it, see what happens. Maybe something bigger come. But I just, as somebody that put shit out in the world, it was encouraging. And I'm curious, not even that I'm curious, but I would assume that other artists, his peer set, are paying attention, you know? Even with this whole thing with Mass Appeal and all of these established artists, legacy acts, putting out new material, Nas is somebody that should be pointed to that kind of helped create a lane from that with his run with Hit Boy and all of that. Like, just to be an artist of a certain ilk, a vet, and all of that, and still active in the world, not just kind of falling back and resting on your laurels, but like, fuck that. I'm out here. I could still put words together. Let me say what I feel. Let me talk about what I'm looking at. Let me speak on this crypto shit. You know what I mean? Let me speak on, you know, yeah, let me dissect my aliases of the past. Like, let me talk from this perspective. Let me create a lane for my peer set, you know, as opposed to like with 3000, kind of like, nah, I don't really know. Well, I'm going to rap about colonoscopies and this, that, and the other thing. I'll go play the flute. You know what I mean? Like, I like, and I don't judge either decision, but I like that there is now an arena for artists of a certain age, you know? I'm always curious, and I've been thinking this since the Hit Boy run. I'm curious what Hov thinks about all of this shit. You know, because I, you know, you kind of pair the two of them, you know what I'm saying, due to their battle and their, competitive nature or whatever. I'm just curious if he be peeping, like, you know. But, yeah, I thought it was a solid album. I'm going to give it some more spins. But what I did to that point about, you know, legacy and getting older and all of that shit, I think Nas had a line on Third Childhood that I feel like kind of spoke a little bit to the expectation and just being in the world for as long as he has. And he said, "Hear me out. If I've been your age and you haven't been mine, as we get older in time, great turns into mediocre, good turns into so-so, bad just means that it could be better." That was deep. That's like, that's some real shit. Because that, I mean, that's kind of a lot of what happens. That's like when Jordan stopped dunking, but his fadeaway was nasty. You know what I mean? But it's just not as explosive as what it used to be. But it's just like, you know what? He's still putting points on the board. Then there's something to be said about that. So yeah, that's how I feel about Light Years. And yeah, y'all let me know what y'all think. Were you satisfied? Did you feel like it led up the, you know, lived up to the hype? Were you let down? You know, all of that shit. Like, what did you fuck with? What didn't you? You know, all of that. Tell me and let me know if you listened to the 21 album or even the Conway album or anything else. Let me know what you thought about that. New York City Radio is had a bit of a shake up. Ebro in the Morning has been, I guess, cut. You know, they got rid of Ebro Darden, Peter Rosenberg, Laura Stiles. They got rid of the whole show. They got rid of them. You know, it's unfortunate. It's a damn shame. You know, I'm not a big fuck with High 97 as much as I used to, which is wild to even say. You know, just, I don't know, man. It's just the, for me, it don't feel as relevant as it once was. When I grew up, like growing up, like the radio was everything. And it's just not just a High 97 thing. I think it's just radio in general, you know, in the age of streaming, in the age of podcasts and all of this other shit, you know, Apple Music, Spotify, things of that nature. I don't know if radio is the same as what it's not the lifeblood. Like, and maybe it's just where I'm at in my life, but you know, that was like almost, I don't say the only option, but like that was what you went to. That was what the score of my day. You know what I mean? Like, I can remember listening to radio in so many different contexts, like just particularly like getting ready for school in the morning, ironing my clothes, listening to the morning shows. I go way back to, like, you know, the roll call with Ed, Lisa, and Dre. "What's up, y'all? What you got to say? Who's on the phone with Ed, Lisa, and Dre?" Like, I remember that. It's the roll call. You know, that type of shit. Storm Buck Wild. I remember going to work on 9/11, and the first plane hit the towers, and Star, I remember it clearly, Star was like, "This is terrorism." This was before the second plane hit. He was like, "This is terrorism." He was the first person to say that shit. But I just remember being on the train going into the city, and I could hear, I'm listening to it. I remember the whole Aaliyah skit. I remember fucking, you know, shit, man. Flex dropping bombs on shit. I remember fucking Ladies Night with Angie, Coco Chanel, Jazzy Joyce. You know what I mean? Miss Jones. Oh, shit. Like, and not even just Hot 97, but Hot 97 is what the focal point is. But not even just Hot 97, 98.7 Kiss. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Open Line. That was like my shit. That was like one of the first. Yeah, that was like one of my favorite shows on the radio that were like, they were expansive as far as thought goes. You know what I mean? Like, they were having real interesting conversations and shit like that. I remember listening to that with like my sister and things of that nature. You know, I remember when Summer Jam was the shit. You know, it's not just some shit, not a date on the calendar. Not, you know, like Summer Jam was like, the world stopped. I remember the Summer Jam screen was like, oh shit, nigga, that was getting dragged way back. Like, that was a thing. So, like, you know, like, I look at it now, and, you know, a lot of people, like, I mean, beyond Flex, it might be, like, the last, you know, the last person standing that holds that whole Hot 97 history on his shoulders. You know what I'm saying? Now that, you know, the morning show is gone. You know, I was never the biggest fan. I think it's a couple of reasons. One, I think they could all, not all, but particularly Ebro and Rosenberg could be a bit polarizing. You know what I'm saying? Ebro, I think, was very self-aware in the fact that, you know, he leaned into the heel of it all, like the old man, you know, like that whole, you know, there's the famous Uzi interview where, you know, Uzi didn't want to rap over a Primo beat. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, God forbid, you know? But that was like the new generation. They wasn't rapping over that type of shit. They wasn't fucking with what, quote unquote, is the boom bap, you know? I remember that. You know, Rosenberg, kind of like real overzealous hip-hop fan, could kind of veer into a bit of gatekeeping, and that would kind of reveal a cultural blind spot. You know what I'm saying? Because as inclusive as hip hop is, there is also like the black culture element of it all. So I remember like with the him calling out Nicki Minaj over the Starship shit, it just kind of, sometimes it came across a little too self-righteous. You know what I mean? And then neither three of them were really, they're not from New York City or the tri-state area. And so much of what High 97 was, you know, that was like, that was the flavor of the tri-state area in New York City. That's what kind of defined the conversation. So to have those voices that were not homegrown, it was a little bit of a departure. And then also at the same time, it was around the time of like the corporatization of radio. You know, not just hip-hop radio, but just radio in general. And probably even before that, but it was almost like, I feel like, particularly, I see a lot of people point the finger at, like, Ebro. And it was like, yo, he fucked up New York hip-hop. He ain't play New York records. And, again, I'm not sure if in the internet era, regionalism means the same thing or has as much importance. But when I was growing up, like, that shit meant something, you know? Like, that defined a whole lot. Like, that was, again, that was the backbone of all of that shit, you know. So, you know, there's a part of it where these DJs are not really representative of the market, and also just playing songs you could hear in Atlanta or Seattle or Denver. No disrespect to any of them cities, but back in the days, every place had their own shit. Like, way back in the day, you know, like a DJ, you got to see the taste of the DJ, see what they was about, you know, see what they were interested in, you know what I mean? Like, or what was representative of the market, you know? And I think after, you know, radio became one big nationwide playlist, the desire to be loyal to a certain radio station wasn't there anymore. You could go make your own playlist. Shit, I could play the same songs y'all gonna play without the talking. And also, you gotta consider the fact that, look, a lot of the years that Hot 97 was on top, they really didn't have no real competition. Like, Power didn't come around till like in the 2000s. You know, the only other competition was like 98.7 or WBLS, and that was like a different demographic. Sometimes they would kind of, you know, overlap, but more often than not, like, Hot 97 was where hip-hop lived. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it wasn't like they had much competition until later on. And I think with the Breakfast Club going to YouTube and putting their interviews on YouTube and like really being at the forefront of the video interview, I think it stole a lot of eyeballs, you know? Because now you don't really have to, radio's not appointment anymore. Like, I remember back in the days, like, radio used to shut shit down. I remember Wendy Williams would shut the fucking game down. I remember working at Vibe and, like, the Wendy Williams shit would come on. Like, you couldn't hear a peep in the office. Like, people was locked. Like, the radio, it was crazy. It was a different time. So, we'll see what happens. At the same time, shout out to the Breakfast Club and the Joe and Jada show. I see they just did a deal with Netflix. So that's going to be interesting because it sounds like they're going to, it's video podcasting, and they're going to take all of the stuff that they got. I don't know about the old stuff, but moving forward, from what I understand, and I might need to read more up on it, but it sounds like none of that content will be available on YouTube or anything like that. It'll only be available on Netflix, which is interesting. I know a lot of people got Netflix, but Netflix is still like a paywall situation, whereas YouTube is relatively free as long as you want to sit through some ads. You know what I mean? So I'm curious how it's going to affect ratings, how it's going to affect, the impact of it all. We'll see. It's a great look, though, so congratulations to them. You know what I mean? But things change, you know? Things change. It's one of the things I was thinking about. You know, you live long enough, like, you see shit come and go. You know what I mean? You see, y'all, I remember when this was that, and now that's this. And I even remember when before that, this was this. And sometimes I wonder if, like, nostalgia, is it like a prison? You know? Like, change is inevitable. You know, and everybody has their own good old days, you know, young and old. Your good old days are not the only days. There's people younger than you whose days, their good old days was, you wasn't even, you'd like, what? You're like that? You know, like, it's a, it's interesting how time works. But, we all, I always wanted to do things need to remain in place just because we got fond remembrances, you know? Like, that's just your own perspective, you know what I'm saying? There's people that's like, yo, man, I remember when black folks used to stay in their place. I remember when black folks wouldn't even look you in the eye. Look at this shit. Now look at them. Look at them looking at me. I don't know. Speaking of that, you know what? I'll tell you some shit that I really enjoy. I'm really enjoying the co-opting of microaggressions, of racial microaggressions that black folks are doing to white people. There's this one cat, and I wish I had the page open. Maybe I could find it. I don't know if I saved any of his videos. But there's one dude, I'm not even going to look for it right now, but there's one dude, if I find, I'll put it on the stories. There's one dude that's been making these videos where he's, like, doing these micro, maybe even macro aggressions. Like, he's turning them on their head, and he's going at white people with it. You know, like, he's in the lobby of an apartment building. He sees a white guy getting into the elevator, and he says, excuse me, do you live here? And the white guy's like, yeah. You know, because I don't know if they don't get challenged, but their immediate thing is not going to be like, it's just because I'm white. You know what I mean? Because that's just, I can't speak for white thought, but I would imagine, you know. But, it was like, yeah. So are you sure? Yeah. Could you show me some ID? He's like, no. You know, but it was just funny just to see them kind of deal with it. Seeing them in the store. Say, hey, you guys need some help? You know what I mean? Like, just fucking with him. You know, like, I saw one where he walked over to a white family, or was these two women with their kids, and like two different families. They're like some homegirls, and they had their kids out, and they were all eating. And there's all, you know, white children, white women. Black dude walks up to us and says, hey, listen, I gotta say, your kids are so well behaved. I'm over here looking at them, and I mean, you know, I was blown away. What are you doing? Like, how are you raising them pretty well? Like, is there any, what's the secret? You know what I mean? Like, that type of shit. And so much so, he's like, do you nanny? Because I could use some of that stern upbringing that you got. Like, it's just, it's just funny to see. And it's interesting. What's funny to me, one, just the conceit is mad funny, silly, you know, and it's loaded. Sometimes they don't even catch it. You know what I mean? Because it's probably not some shit that they even have to contend with. So it's just like, it just feels like innocuous, you know, like just some regular ass conversation. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they're like, you know. But what it also made me look at is it's just, there's so many microaggressions. Them shits almost, they almost play like standards. You know, like it's so many. It's like a, there's, it's like a reservoir of microaggressions. And when they, like when they did the you know, your kids are so well behaved, it felt like a B-side, like felt like a deep cut microaggression, like, oh wow, like there's the hits, you know what I mean, do you live here, you know what I'm saying, or do you need help in the super, you know, like in the retail store, some shit, department store, something like that, are you sure you need some help, you know what I mean, whatever, like you see that all the time on social media. You probably encountered it maybe in your own life. You know what I'm saying? You know, can I touch your hair? You know what I'm saying? Those are, you know, those are like top 20, top 10. But then, you know, like, yo, your kids are so well behaved. That's one of those that you see. It's like a sleeper. And it's just like, wow, it's so many. So my man got a lot of shit that he could pull from. It made me laugh. It's been making me laugh. What's your favorite deep cut microaggression? Let me know in the comments. What's your favorite deep, one of the joints that people forget? Some shit that you like, oh wow, nobody did that one in a minute. Shit. Wow, that was a throwback. One of mine's is, one of his deep cut, it feels like, it's like when, and it could even be your friends, like when white people kind of code switch around you, you know what I mean, and kind of black it up a little bit, and it almost feels like they're imitating you, not mocking you, but just try to tap into your energy and it be like perform you to you. And sometimes it's like, ooh, it's super bad. Sometimes it's like, oh God, I see what you're doing, but it's still kind of weird, especially if you cool with them. Cause it don't feel malicious, but it definitely does reveal some othering in the situation. There's a trend out that I've been peeping. Look, I'ma just call it toenail veneers. You know, like there's a lot of, I guess maybe it's been going on for a long time. It just kind of hit me recently. Cause there's a lot of feet on my explore page. I looked at one or two videos of feet, and like my explore page is like, oh, that's what you like. And now I don't need this much feet on my explore, but I don't know how to cut it. You know what I mean? But it's like a lot of toes and titties on my explore page. You know what I'm saying? I think the ratio is off right now. But what I noticed was like all of these real uniform big toes. I'm talking about women's feet. But like all these uniform big toes, there's no unique big, there's not many unique big toe representation like it used to be. Like that was a thing. Either you waited till the summertime or like, you know, shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you got intimate with a woman, she took took her socks off. You're like, oh, you get to see what her feet look like. Okay, kind of feet you got. You know what I mean? One of those things. But it was still like character. You know, every foot didn't look the same. Now with these press-on toenails, it's like every big toe look like the last big toe you just saw. And it's a weird shape now. They look like they got like little high top fades. You know what I mean? Like little kid from Kid and Play toenails. It's just an observation. Let me know if you see that shit, or is it just my algorithm? But I'm like, yo, what's going on here? They look too artificial. I like an organic toenail. You know what I'm saying? Listen, that's just my whole thing. This Rob Reiner story was horrible. Rob Reiner, rest in peace, Rob Reiner. Really accomplished director. There was a, I think I got it. I'm going to say it. Because Rob Reiner is the, I didn't realize like how accomplished or how much of a crazy run that Rob had. I'm going to try to find it. It's wild if I could find it. But he came out the gate. It was just like back to back to back to back. And I'm paraphrasing it because I don't see the actual IMDb, but it was like, I want to say Misery, A Few Good Men, Stand By Me. Stand By Me is like one of my favorite movies of all time. I didn't even know he directed it like until years later, but Stand By Me is like one of my favorite movies. That's like one of my, it might have been like one of my first favorite movies when you start to identify, oh, I like this shit. I could watch this again and again and again. Like, this is one of my favorites. Like, Stand By Me is such a great story. But When Harry Met Sally, he did like five out the gate that were just damn near all classics. But, you know, looks like his son killed him and his wife. You know, I guess the news is still developing, but I was like, ugh. I ain't gonna lie, the second thought I had was, I mean, outside of, damn, this is tragic, but the second thought I had was like, it's a good thing I ain't got no kids. I hate to say that I thought that, you know what I mean? And obviously, everybody's having kids. Your kids ain't going to kill you more often than not, you know what I mean? Hopefully, they got a healthy dose of fear and respect. But I was like, oh, shit. That's just one thing I ain't got to think about, you know, one of my spawn killing me, at least in this point. But, damn, God, it's horrible. And then maybe that was in poor taste, but I'm going to temper some poor taste with even more poor taste, because your man, fucking Trump, the little statement he put out about Rob Reiner was ridiculous. This motherfucker is the tackiest, most petty leader I've ever seen, ever in life. It's ridiculous, but I don't even want to speak to what he said. I'm sure you've seen it. It's making the rounds. It's ridiculous, man, but it's wild that he was killed, because I was literally, I literally just queued up This Is Spinal Tap and This Is Spinal Tap 2. They both hit HBO Max, and I've never seen This Is Spinal Tap, and it's like a classic. It's revered. It's known to be, and I believe it is, the first like mockumentary or the first film to, or first production, film or TV, to use that mockumentary trope that has been done by like The Office and Parks and Rec and, you know, all the Abbott Elementary. Like, they were the first to kind of kick that off. And I've always heard it was like a classic movie, super funny. I'd never seen it. In these last couple of weeks, I've been saying, yo, let me watch. Because I remember him doing press about, you know, This Is Spinal Tap 2. And I was like, shit, I need to see Spinal Tap 1. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe I haven't seen it. It's one of those things I can't believe I haven't seen. Like, I ain't never seen The Lion King. And it's almost kind of like I don't want to see it, because when I say I ain't see it, people are like, get the fuck out of here. You ain't seen The Lion King? Like, that shit is, all right, niggas, I ain't see it. But I don't know. Maybe I'll see it. But anyway, it's one of those that, like, everybody seeks to speak highly of Spinal Tap. So I'm like, let me go check this shit out. Let me check it out. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Rob Reiner and his wife, I don't know his wife's, I think, I don't want to, I want to say it's Michelle, but I'm not sure. Let me see. They were killed, and allegedly by their son. Yeah, Michelle. Yeah. Rob Reiner, Michelle Reiner, rest in peace. That's terrible. Rest in peace, Shawnee Saxon. You know, real good people. Real good people. I know Shawnee. I used to work with Shawnee. She was an editor. She was the music editor at Vibe while I was there. And I think even the executive editor. But that's how I first was introduced to her. You know, she's always good people. Real strong opinions. You know, she was cool, real great energy. And then I seen her later on. She was working. She was part of the production team, writing staff of Harlem on Amazon. So when I went out there, I shot something for Harlem. And I ran into her. I ran into Ayanna Byrd, Mimi Valdez. It was like a little reunion on set. So that shit was dope. That was probably the last time I seen her in person. But like always good people. And you know, yeah, it's really sad. Rest in peace to her as well. Yo, last week I think, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Uncle Nearest and how I kind of felt the way about like the fact that I didn't like Uncle Nearest and the fact that I didn't really talk about it because, you know, I was trying to, you know, respect Fawn Weaver, you know what I'm saying? Black woman, owner, you know what I mean? Like, let's support, you know? And then I was saying, damn, I see that they kind of did her dirty or whatever. And I forget the particulars of it, but they it seemed like they wrestled control away or something like that. Anyway, video comes out just this week of Fawn Weaver, I guess, at a meet and greet. And it wasn't the best look for Fawn. You know, it was a meet and greet. She's outside. She's glad-handed. She's meeting and greeting. She's, hey, how you doing, Bowsy Skip? You know, speaking to the people or whatever. And then the cat comes up. And he's like, yo, you don't remember me? Is always terrible. It's like, you know, nigga, you setting your, that's a bold opening line. You know what I mean? Like you, but more often than not, people are invested in that because they really do feel as though you should remember me, especially if they got like real, connection, you know what I'm saying? With this person, they lean on it. So anyway, yo, you remember me? And Fawn was like, kind of like, you know, whatever. And he was like, yo, we was in seventh, eighth grade, and maybe even ninth. I think, or sixth, seventh, and eighth grade together. Sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. That's a back-to-back-to-back. That's a, you know what I mean? Sixth, seventh, and eighth grade together. He's like, yo, it was me, you, whatever, Anwar, Ali, Shaniqua. You know, he's naming the crew from sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Now, Fawn is... You know what I mean? I don't know how old Fawn is, but it's been a long time since she's in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So rather than saying, no, I don't really remember you, or, you know, hey, oh, hey, how you doing? Whatever, whatever. She was like, she hit them with the hear ye. She told the whole crowd, hey, yo, listen, y'all. You hear this man? This man talking about, yo, do you remember me? Sixth, seventh, eighth grade. Somebody, do I remember? I don't remember this. Like, it made a scene. It was crazy. It was no need to make a scene. I was like, damn, Paul, why you do that? You know what I mean? Why you do that? You know, that's a little much. That's foul. That's fucked up, you know? Because I think we've all been there. You know, I've definitely been there. I've seen people. I had somebody come up to me and was like, yo, you remember me? I know you don't remember me. I hate when they do that. I know you don't remember. You remember me? I don't even remember the person. I remember the name, but I didn't remember the person for many years since I seen this person. But you know what I did? I lied. I was like, oh, come on. Of course. It's good to see you. Damn, it's been a minute. You looking good. You know, it's all the lies. You know what I mean? I was just at homecoming. Yo, good to see you. Oh, and we're in the context of homecoming, so I know we went to school together. Yeah, but I don't remember your name. I'm tapping my people. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? But it was still, yo, good to see you. Happy homecoming. You know what I'm saying? All of that. Sometimes, like, play it off, lie a little bit, or be like, it's been so long. I mean, what's your name? Oh, right. Or even if you go keep it 100 and be like, yo, I don't know you. You know what I mean? I don't remember quite. You know, you could keep it between you and that person. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I had to blow it up with the whole crowd with all these onlookers. Yeah, yo, this motherfucker, can you believe? Like, that was crazy. And what was interesting, too, is the fact is he already had the meet and greet. So he probably been buying bottles for years just off of pure kinship. You know what I'm saying? Just off the fact that he think y'all got a connection. That's my homegirl from fucking elementary. So we go way back. Nigga, I known Fawn from, come on, nigga. I know Fawn my peoples. I should pull up on Fawn. When I pull up on a watch, I'm like, oh, shit, it's you. Nigga, not no more. He might feel away. I do think he was a little, again, that's a bold, yo, you don't remember me? It was bold, and he kind of did it like he pulled in real close into the personal space. You know what I mean? His spatial awareness was off. Spatial awareness was off, and his voice was like, his voice matched his spatial awareness. Yo, you know what I mean? It's a little too familiar. You know what I'm saying? So there's also the people that say maybe she made the scene to kind of, you know, diffuse the whole situation. Yo, I'm uncomfortable, dog. You know, her whole saying, I'm uncomfortable. Maybe she was uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? But it was what it was. I will tell you, you know, what could have made that a better situation, would have been a little bit more forgiving, if she was a little, not drunk, but tipsy off the uncle nearest. Like, cause then that's a testimony to, like, if she tipsy, that's relatable. Now it's a brown liquor buzz. You know what I mean? She's like, yo, y'all hear this nigga? This nigga talking about 6, 7, 8 grand. Nigga, I don't remember what I did last week. You understand shit? I'm getting money, baby. You know what I mean? But it's good to see you, baby. I know, did you buy a bottle? I know you bought a bottle. I know you ain't all about face and you ain't buy no bottle. Woo, shit. But anyway, good to see you, baby. You know what I'm saying? She had a little brow sweat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been it. But maybe that's not the profile or the what she want to lead with. Anyway. I just took a sip of some good Pure Life. I don't know where Pure Life falls on the hierarchy of bottled waters, but I think it's somewhere near the bottom. But it's... I fuck with it. I enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's a price point that I appreciate. And it does the job. I don't get caught up in the water hype. I done been through. I done sipped the Saratoga and whatever, the Mountain Valley and all of these other shits. Water be water. Really. Water be water. I will tell you this, though. And this is a new occurrence. Fairly new. Within the last 1-2 years. I might have Vlad to thank for this. And it wasn't anything that he said pointedly. He just said it in passing. He was talking about going get a cup of coffee from like the little corner store or something. He was like, I don't know. They probably use tap water. I was like, damn, niggas, people don't use tap water to make their coffee? Wait a minute, is that not the move? So I started, you know, I've been buying water. So now I'll buy like dedicated bottled spring water just for my coffee, right? And then this is the other thing that I tell you. I've come on here quite a few times. Like if I don't use the mocha pot, or it's like the, you know, the Dominicans call it the greca. You know what I mean? If I don't use the mocha pot, because that's when you get that real uncut, that should be powerful impact with that Bustelo. That shit is, again, that's crack cocaine. But every so often I'll do a you know, not even every so often, I do a Keurig, because it's quick, it's fast, you know what I mean? It's not a whole lot of cleanup like when you use the mocha pot. You gotta assemble, disassemble, all that shit. So anyway, I've said here many times that the Keurig just tastes like brown water. Sometimes it just tastes, you know, it don't have the same potency as a good cup of coffee. But what I realized is I was putting too much water in the little reservoir. You know what I mean? Like, especially now, because I switched Keurigs. So this new one, it's just like it's a quick one. You know what I mean? It just does, it gives you, you know, it's no selection of 8 ounce, 12 ounce, 6 ounce, no shit like that. So I just typically just fill the reservoir and it pours a full mug of coffee. But then I was reading around, because I was like, yo, I'd Google how to make a Keurig cup of coffee taste better. And quite a few people was like, use less water. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't got to go too crazy. You ain't got to put 12 ounces of water in this shit. Because I'm like, damn, they're throwing a whole bottle of water into the reservoir every time I make a cup of coffee. And they was like, yo, throw 6 ounces in that shit. It's, trust me, less is more. You know what I mean? It's just less. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's less water to dilute the intensity of the shit. And I did that today, and I'm going to tell you, that shit hit. That shit hit. So just take that. That's a gem. Take that, you know? Yeah, that's damn near a parting word, to be totally honest with you, because we creeping up on this hour. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to talk about. Nah, we talked about everything I think we wanted to talk about. There's some couple things I don't give a fuck about that I'm not going to speak on. But yeah, I think that is it. Listen, Eastville Comedy Club, December 27th. Yeah, December 27th, Saturday, December 27th, Eastville Comedy Club, 8 p.m. I'm doing an hour. That's probably my last hour for the year. And then I'm just chilling. I'm going to, you know, chill out till 2026, get back on the road. But if you're around, get you a ticket. Tickets are on sale. Come through. You know what I mean? And let's get the laugh on. But, shit, it was a blast chopping it up with y'all. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy. To be in the conversation. Come on.
Conversation.